Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Essence of the Upanishads. The title is Sutras, presented by Swami Jyotir Mayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
We are entering into this question. Bhargava is another disciple. See, all the six disciples were right in front of the sage. One disciple received his answers. The second disciple steps up on the basis of what the first had asked. O Bhagavan, how many gods sustain the living beings? God term is used in a broad sense. All the principles that hold your physical body, all those principles are called gods, because ultimately they are all universal principles. Of these, how many gods illumine the body? And which god is the greatest of them all? This is my question. A very subtle point. The Upanishad is trying to direct your attention to your own body, to your own personality, instead of trying to find God by externalizing your mind, exploring the universe. That's a vast project. Instead of that, try to understand how many gods sustain your personality. Avoid any suspense. Gods refer to all the elements, subtle elements, they're tanamatras. The very word tanamatra means a measure of that. Tat is Brahman. A pinch of Brahman becomes the earth element. A pinch of Brahman becomes the water element, fire element, air element, ether element. These elements in the beginning are subtle. They go to compose your mind, senses, etc. And the grosser aspect of the elements go to compose the entire universe. Your body has evolved on the basis of these elements. But when you look at your body, the question is, how many gods illumine the body? Gods referring to your senses. Senses, mind, intellect, they illumine your body. So the body will be inert without these. Which god is the greatest of them all? That points to prana. The vital energy, the vital life that sustains your body. It is that life that entered your body and all the senses, etc., became operative. If life moves away from the body, all the senses, etc., will leave the body. So if you were to direct your focus on the prana within you, it is putting you in touch with the universal aspect of God. Your mind, your senses, they are all involved, they are limited. But one thing, prana remains untouched. The prana continues to watch over your body, no matter whatever you may be thinking. Continues to maintain your nervous system. And you will further know all the different pranas, how they maintain the body. But prana remains untouched. If you were to build up in your mind a mystical way of understanding that God is within me in the form of life, God is caring for me no matter what I do, I'm never separated from God as prana within me. You don't have to go far and wide looking for God. You can feel the presence of God in every breath. That's the ideal again. The akasha, the next verse says, akasha, the ether, air, fire, water, earth. speech, karmendriyas, organs of action, and senses of perception, such as the eyes, the ears, as well as the mind, are the gods that sustain the body. The Upanishad evolves a parable. Once upon a time, they started fighting for greatness. Because all the jumble there, the pranas are there, the mind is there, the senses are there, and they are constantly there with you. So it so happened once upon a time, they started raising a question, who is the greatest? They began to express their greatness. The eyes said, we are the greatest. If the eyes are not there, what will happen? Ears said, we are greatest. And similarly, every sense and even the mind, intellect, they all asserted their greatness. Greatest of them all, prana said, do not be deluded. It is I who, having divided myself in the form of 5 pranas, sustain the body. Hearing this, the gods didn't believe. Then the prana, out of indignation as it were, proceeded to go out of the body. The other gods, referring to the mind, senses and others, began to get out of the body as well. It shows if the eyes went, other gods stayed in your body. If the ears went, the others stay in the body. Even if the mind goes, still the body is there and life is there. But once the life starts moving away, prana, then all of them follow that like the bees follow the queen bee. This proves who is the greatest. Then the pranas, out of indignation as it were, proceeded to go out of the body. The other gods began to get out of the body as well. When the pranas returned, the other gods returned into the body. Just as the bees go out, when the queen bee goes out, and they return when she returns. Seeing the glory of prana, the gods began to praise the supreme deity. Now, this, try to discover within yourself an atmosphere of glorifying prana, God in the form of prana. Try to understand the profundity of your being, the boundless potentiality of what you are. Prana that sustains the universe. Prana is behind all the glorious things of the world. Same prana, universal prana, which is an aspect of Brahman, is sustaining you, every cell within your body. And allow your mind to adore God in the form of prana. That will have many implications. Esho gnih tapat yesha suryam, esha parjanyo maghavan esha, Vayuresha, Prithvi, Ravir, Daivah, Sadasat, Cha, Amritam, Chayat. This prana, manifesting as fire, burns. It shines as the sun, it rains as the clouds. See, what you are breathing in and out so easily, that very prana is manipulating all functions in the universe. It is verily Indra, the ruler of the senses. It is wind god. It is the earth. It is the moon, as well as that, all that is existent, as well as non-existent. Existent means things that you see. Non-existent, they are unmanifest. That prana is the nectar of immortality. The sages found out a very subtle, simple method to let human mind turn to God in a very effective way. And that method is prana. But how to direct the mind to prana? Breathing that goes on every moment. It's an effect of prana. So if you start focusing your attention on the breath, you breathe in, there is operation of the active aspect of prana. When you breathe out, there's an operation of passive aspect of prana called apana. I will not go into too much details. But in between, when you breathe in and breathe out, in between the two, your mind has nothing to hold on to. Mind becomes quiet. In that quietness, you hear the whispers of eternity. That's the goal of pranayama. Therefore, the pranayama practitioners, they practice so that they can maintain kumbhak state, not with force, but spontaneously. Breathing in, breathing out, and then there is in between state, poised. That is urging your mind to become quiet and to discover the quietness that exists between two vrittis, thought waves of the mind. Vrittis are like pictures being projected on the screen. When you watch a cinema show, in between two projections, screen shines forth. Human eyes don't detect. Similarly, all things that you are aware of and engrossed in, they are magic play of your mind. In between two thought waves, there is a revelation of the self. But your mind has to be well trained, intellect has to be very subtle in order to comprehend what is in between the thoughts. In between the thoughts imply your mind is not turning to the past, not going to the future. It is completely free of stress. Even within that moment, the mind has reflected the presence of God. But that presence moves away because intellect is very unsteady. But what I'm trying to say, that's the practice of prana. It starts with breath. And to make it more effective, the Vedantic pranayama is soham. Breathing in, turn your mind to so. Breathing out, hum. So means that. You are breathing in, the whole universal prana is enfolding you. Hum, your individuality has merged into universal. That am I. I am not this ego. In fact, try to understand that each time you breathe, that's what you are listening to. So hum, so that am I, that am I. So for attaining enlightenment, you didn't turn towards any other part of your personality. Not to the eyes, not to the ears, not to this, not to that. Prana. The most profound symbol of God within you. And allow your mind to understand it is this prana that makes you breathe every moment. It is this prana that shines through the sun, that surges through the ocean, that maintains the course of countless stars and planets all over the universe. When you enter into the ocean and play with a single wave, you must realize you are touching the entire ocean. Through your breath, you are touching the entire ocean of prana. And that's the the subtle insight is being given so your mind can become aware of God's presence in the form of prana. And thereby you have found a key to the attainment of liberation. And we'll continue. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.